They just need to stop. Stop. Stop doing this. It's the News According to Me. Well, good morning, I guess. It's it's Wednesday. It's already Wednesday. It's June 8th, 2022, 7:25 p.m. Did I say p.m.? A.M. 7:25. It's 7:25 p.m. somewhere. On the other side of the world, probably. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are doing today. All I know is my day has been completely rearranged from what I thought it was going to be, and it's got me so discombobulated. That's a big word. I'm not even sure if it really is a word. I've used it all my life. I think it's the first time I've ever used it on the show. Almost 400 episodes, and I think it's the first time I've ever used that word. So, the craziness of life is crazy enough without government messing everything up. And apparently, we're in that stage right now where we've got these wackadoodles in the White House, and some lollylugers in the Capitol, sitting on the Capitol Hill, who've been there for 300,000 years. And their temple of democracy. Oh boy, where do I start with all this stuff? You know, it's just me here again this morning complaining, as I normally do, ranting and raving. Because there's just so much to complain about. Oh my goodness. I wish I had some good news occasionally. There's just not a lot of it out there. Well, there's plenty of it if you'd look around. I mean, there's always good news. And if nothing else, there's always that good news of that the old story that we all know so well. We can always talk about that. It's crazy. It's crazy out there. But the one thing that we always can rest assured on is that there's something in my cup. Until today, I have no cup. I can't believe I started this show. Which just gives you an idea of how discombobulated I am. I have no cup this morning. And actually, I deliberated on this. Spent many hours contemplating whether or not I should be enjoying a cup of beverage while the world is suffering so much. So I opted not to. I opted to partake and include myself with the sufferings of the world by not having a cup to drink anything out of this morning. The truth is, I just forgot it. I had a cup earlier, and then the problem is I've got all this. My wife is apparently she likes a fat husband because I've got I normally just eat Wheaties in the morning. When I'm home, I just eat Wheaties with milk on it. That's what I do. That's pretty much every morning. A little bit of sugar. Or maybe it's more like sugar with a little bit of Wheaties on it and some milk. That's probably more accurate. So this morning I had yesterday she bought me these cinnamon rolls, these great big huge cinnamon rolls. There's four of them. They take up the size of a small mid-sized truck. And I ended up I ate one yesterday. I didn't have Wheaties. I just ate the cinnamon roll. And of course, I always notice about halfway into my morning, I seem to crash, like I always want to take a nap after I eat that much sugar and stuff, and just too much carbs. So I ended up, and I struggled through, I suffered through the morning, because I ended up getting out of here to go. The boat is in the water, by the way. Finally, I've got a friend of mine down in Florida who makes fun of me for having to take my boat out of the water for 9 months out of the year. Why do you even have a boat? You need to come down here. This is the land of boats. Florida is, you know, it's everybody's got a boat down there. If you don't have a boat, you're nobody in Florida. It's just everybody's got a boat. It's got even if it's a boat that doesn't work, even if it's just a toy boat in the bathtub, it's everybody's got some kind of boat down there, or knows somebody with a boat that they go out with all the time, go fishing or whatever. Around here, you see you got a boat. They're like, "What's a boat? What's that?" I see those occasionally in the middle of summer in July. I see a couple boats out there. Is that what they're doing? Floating around on the water before it freezes again. They're looking for leftover ice cubes, which is a whole other joke too in itself. But I ended up, I got the boat in the water yesterday. So that's going to be, you know, I'll use that about twice this summer, and then I'll be pulling it out in the fall. That's how that works. I don't get to use it nearly as much as I would like to. I pulled in next to a guy yesterday after they got my boat in the water. They gave me a little slip to pull into until I get my boat moved to where it's going to be. It's another city where I have to take it to keep it for the summer. And got it pulled up into this next to this slip. It's the same dock as this other guy. And he and his wife are living aboard this summer. They're getting ready to take off into the week. And they're going to just, I said, "Well, where do you normally keep your boat?" He goes, "Well, we don't have a place to keep it. We're going to be vagabonds on the lake, on all the lakes this year. They're just going to go sailing around. Going to go up north. All over the place." And, yeah. So just, you know, Beaver Island, all that kind of stuff's going to go up in there. Possibly into some other lakes, probably over to Huron. Who knows? So, well, that's too bad. It sucks to be you. Yeah. You're living my dream, buddy. Treat it right. Yeah. So, I got off on this is the bunny trail of a bunny trail. It's going down a rabbit hole real fast. So I ended up, no cup. I was eating the cinnamon roll. So this morning I decided to eat Wheaties and a cinnamon roll. See how that works out for me. But I'm pretty convinced. I still have two cinnamon rolls left. There's enough carbs in one of those cinnamon rolls. I could probably survive. I could probably run a marathon and not burn them all off. But that's the way that works. So the weather today, I was going to move the boat today, and that's just not going to work. So tomorrow, I'm planning to move the boat to its final port. It's about a 6-hour sail, 5-6 hours, something like that. Take me most of the day. Today there's supposed to be some thunderstorms. I've had my experiences with thunderstorms, and I tell you what, I just don't want to do that. I want to try to avoid that as much as possible. Because they can be, when it's a line of them, that's when it gets really nasty. You know, if it's just one thunderstorm that kind of, it's like a cell, you know, that pops over, that's not such a big deal, but just, you never know. You can't tell that well. So, a lot of things happening in the economy. And I'd like to address some of these things. Janet Yellen, Tucker did a really good hit piece, basically, on Janet Yellen. I think last night he was talking about how ridiculously incompetent she is. She seems like a nice lady. She just doesn't know her job. She was going on and on about how they didn't foresee, you know, COVID having such an effect and all these other things having such an effect on trade and all the other stuff that was going on, as well as the energy. She never really mentioned the energy situation. She never even talked about the price of oil and what they've done with gas prices and that kind of thing. Now, keep in mind, you would think that the Treasury Secretary would understand that we have an oil-based economy, period. The world runs on oil. We have truckers now quitting. Quitting because they can't afford to run their trucks. They're paying, you go to fill up your tank, you spend $1,000 filling up your tank. You can't afford it. That's not sustainable. Well, you know, because the prices, they're not paying them anymore. So they're just parking them. Or they're quitting altogether. The way that some trucking organizations, the way it works is they pay the trucker a price per mile. But the trucker himself has to manage his fuel load and all that kind of stuff. They don't pay for your fuel. I've done some things where I've done some deliveries. I used to deliver RVs. And they would hand you a check and they'd hand you the RV and they'd say, here, take this RV out to California.
Okay.
And you're paying for your own gas all the way out there. So if you drove slow, you could save some money. But if you drove fast, you could get back sooner and get another unit. Take it back out again. So it was kind of a, you know, you had to manage your time well. You had to do your best to try to drive fast enough that you could get there and get back. Kind of time your departure so that you could get back in time to get another unit, get on the road again, because you didn't make any money if you weren't rolling. And you didn't make much money when you were rolling. But you could survive that way. There were guys literally lived on the road. They'd jump on the bus or fly back, you know, back from there wherever they were. Get a taxi back or whatever they're out, some kind of ride back from the airport or the bus station. Right back to the terminal, pick up another unit, and just keep on rolling. Literally had everything that they owned in their bag. Or pretty much everything. And they just survived that way. It's kind of like a homeless person living on the road. And it worked for them. They were young single guys. They're just out there driving around. Worked just fine for them. You know, but until you start talking about retirement, because now you don't have any money to retire on. You don't have any, you know, what if you lose your medical? What if you can't drive anymore for some reason? You're done. So the truckers right now are really struggling with this. And I know the whole RV industry basically is going to take a huge, major hit. And the reason I bring it up is because it is in this area, 80% or more probably of the recreational vehicles that are built in the world are built here in this county. And they have miles and miles, square miles, of parking lot just to put the RVs on before they get delivered. It's a ridiculous thing. And then there's independent companies. There's one just a mile from me here that has it's about a fourth of a square mile. I don't know what that would be. Huge parking lot filled with hundreds of units, motorized as well as trailers, and motorized as in motorhomes. And they are constantly just in and out. Truck drivers are just in and out of there all the time. Now, I'm not sure what they're doing. Usually they give them a surcharge fee. When the price of gas goes up a certain amount, they'll give them a stipend on top of just to help pay for the fuel. Not all companies do that, and so it just bites them really hard when the price of gas goes up like this. Especially diesel. Diesel's gone up ridiculously. Now you have to keep in mind this is Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary. It's her. She has one job. To understand the economy and how it runs, and to do what she can within her department to keep inflation from going crazy, and to work with the Fed to keep inflation. And Biden just said this himself the other day. The Fed's job is to stabilize the economy and keep. So now, I don't know if he's blaming the Fed in making the statement. That's their responsibility to, you know, maintain to curb inflation and maintain job growth. I don't believe that it's the Fed's job. By the way, for one thing, the Federal Reserve is not a part of our government. They're a contract organization. They're a private organization. There's nobody there that we elect. It's not a part of the federal government. They have an agreement with the federal government. And there's no reserves there. They just make money out of nothing. They just decide how much money is in circulation. And this is why Ron Paul wanted to audit the Fed. Of course, there was a guy there who worked at the Fed. I think was some kind of high up. Wasn't the chairman of the Fed at one point, but he was high up in the Fed, Federal Reserve, and the Fed. In the business, we call it Fed. You know, those of who are on the inside, we call it the Fed, the Federal Reserve. So it's street lang for that. So we had this guy comes out and says, "Well, there's nothing to audit. There's nothing to see. They can audit the Fed, but they're not going to find anything." No, you don't understand. It's the exposure of where does the money come from. They just make this stuff up. They literally type some keystrokes. And one of the things that the audit the Fed thing was that they wanted to find out how much money is actually in circulation and where is it all going. That's what they're trying to hide. They claim they don't know. They used to have to give a yearly report to say how much currency was actually in circulation. They decided they're not going to do that anymore. This was like 20 years ago. Well, we're not going to do that anymore. So either they don't know or they're embarrassed to say. Now, you have to understand the Federal Reserve doesn't just give money, print money and loan money to the United States. They also dabble in other countries as well. They are closely associated with the World Bank and the World Monetary Fund. The World Monetary Fund is basically an extension of the Federal Reserve. It's the whole money system is designed to control you. And that is ultimately what the powers that be want to do. And that's interesting. Dan Pfeiffer, I think the guy's name is, if I remember right. I read this article just this morning. It was an interesting article that involved one of Barack Obama's advisors, key advisors at one time. What was the guy's name? See if I still have it here. I don't think I do. Yeah, I don't see it anywhere. It was a, might have been on my other news feed. Apparently, he kind of said the quiet part out loud. Started mentioning how they're really upset about organizations like, well, he I don't even know if he said Fox News, but he said the right wing, the conservative news organizations. They're really concerned, mostly concerned about alternative news organizations. They call it alternative news. This is all part of their alt-right. The alt-right is supposedly a white supremacy arm of the Republican Party. Now, you have to understand, most of the actual white supremacists, like the Ku Klux Klan, they consider themselves Democrats. They actually don't like to be affiliated with any party, but when you start looking at what they believe in terms of their foundational core mission statement, it goes right along with socialism. You can't call them hard right or extreme right wing groups. See, what they'd like for you to believe with this narrative that they keep pushing is that the further right you go, the more white supremacists. At the ultimate right side of their ultimate goal, their radical right is white supremacists. And we need to protect ourselves from white supremacy and gun violence and homegrown terrorists. There was a recent article. I wish I'd have pulled it up. Maybe I can find it here as we are discussing what's going on. I wish I had a cup. That'd be nice. I'm going to see if I can find this because it was really good. Somebody actually had posted it on Facebook, and I'm surprised it was still there. Where is it here? This is notifications. This is, yeah. Where did he go? A friend of mine from high school. Yes, here it is. This was an article. He posted this from Open and Concealed Carry Laws. The first part of it goes on to talk about this guy. I guess our national leaders didn't expect this. On Thursday, Daryl Scott, the father of Rachel Scott, a victim of the Columbine High School shootings in Littleton, Colorado, was invited to address the House Judiciary Committee subcommittee. And what he said to our national leaders during this special session of Congress was painfully truthful. They were not prepared for what he was to say, nor was it received well. It needs to be heard by every parent, every teacher, every politician, every sociologist, every psychologist, and every so-called expert. These courageous words spoken by Daryl Scott are powerful, penetrating, and deeply personal. There is no doubt that God sent this man as a voice crying in the wilderness. The following is a portion of the transcript. Quote, "Since the dawn of creation, there has been both good and evil in the hearts of men and women. We all contain the seeds of kindness or the seeds of violence. The death of my wonderful daughter, Rachel Joy Scott, and the deaths of the heroic teacher and the other 11 children who died must not be in vain. Their blood cries out for answers. The first recorded act of violence was when Cain slew his brother Abel out in the field. The villain was not the club he used. Neither was it the NCA, the National Club Association. The true killer was Cain, and the reason for the murder could only be found in Cain's heart. In the days that followed the Columbine tragedy, I was amazed at how quickly fingers began to be pointed at groups such as the NRA. I am not a member of the NRA. I am not a hunter. I do not even own a gun. I am not here to represent or defend the NRA because I don't believe that the NRA is responsible for my daughter's death. Therefore, I do not believe they need to be defended. If I believed they had anything to do with Rachel's murder, I would be their strongest opponent. I am here today to declare that Columbine was not a tragedy. It was a spiritual event. It should be forcing us to look at where the real blame lies. Much of the blame lies here in this room. Much of the blame lies behind the pointing fingers of the accusers themselves. I wrote a poem just four nights ago. It expresses my feelings best. Your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You've stripped away our heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Now gunshots fill our classrooms, and precious children die. You seek for answers everywhere, and ask the question, why? You regulate restrictive laws through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we need. It goes on. It's a very good article. If you can find it, I would encourage you to read it. Very, very seriously and well put. Well done. We have this issue of an organization, a philosophical trend, bent, that wants to control, first of all, destroy the foundations of our nation, to build this some kind of a utopian idea of what society should be. Because, and this is where I think I want to go with this morning. I really want to talk to the GOP. If you are a member of the establishment GOP that thinks that you can continue to play politics and keep this thing moving, most of establishment GOP, by the way, has been just the other side of a same coin. They kind of want the same things. They just don't want things to go as fast. They want to stay in office, but they still they still are open to the whole progressive ideas, the progression of things the way they're going. And here's the reason that the rhinos and the establishment GOP is so dangerous. They do not understand. They have no clue. They don't realize what their job is in Washington. They don't understand what the whole founding principle is in this nation and why we so desperately need to uphold and defend it. And here's how it happens. Let's see if I can lay this out in any kind of logical manner this morning, even without my cup. We have these truths, these self-evident truths, that we are all created by our Creator. We are endowed with these certain rights, unalienable rights. And every man and every person is equal in those rights as an individual. That there's no group that can take them away, or there's no group we can be a part of that will add to or take away from those rights. Because the importance is on the individual that makes up that group, not on the group itself. Those founding principles are what we send our representatives to Washington to defend for ourselves. We send them there to be our defense, to be our defenders. That's why they swear an oath. I've said this many times. And yet, we have this emotional plea from those on the left who want to progress us into something else, which is progressively further from the rights of individuals, and we want to start giving special rights to groups. This is dangerous on so many levels. But what we have is this idea that we can somehow compromise. So what ends up happening is we have the one party is supposedly in a position where they are defending and holding the line. You know, just playing defense is not easy to do. Over time, you start to lose ground. If that's all you do, if you never go on the offense to curtail or nip something in the bud, to foresee something, you know, that's happening. So they sit on their hands and they complain when the other party's in charge. And look how bad they are. You need to elect us back into office so that we can just sit around and just go slow things down. We can, you know, we want to work because we want to keep working with these snakes. So we have this. What ends up happening is you're holding the line. Well, so then you got the left, you know, they're way off to the left over there somewhere. You can still see them. And they seem reasonable. And they have they pull up the emotional heartstrings of the American people. And they, of course, have the media on their side to produce narratives and make it sound like, oh, we need this because so many people are suffering. They'll make up numbers of people. Oh, you know, like, hundreds of thousands of millions of people are going to die if we don't do this. And we have all these people in poverty and all this is going on. And then they pull at their heartstrings. Compassionate conservatism. That's what George Bush said. But there's nothing that's not compassionate about conservatism. This is where they go. They get confused about what compassion really is. Compassion isn't doling out money, taking money from one person and giving it to another. It's enabling the person who needs it to be able to produce for themselves, to attain for themselves the American dream of working hard and enjoying the fruits of your labor. But It's no longer in the hearts and minds of the rhinos of the establishment GOP. They just want to go along with the politics of everything that's happening. They feel like they have to play the game so they keep their job. And that's really what it's about. It's about them staying in power, about the those individuals staying in power. And, you know, staying loyal to the party so that the party will reward them. For instance, Kevin McCarthy right now has a huge amount of influence over individuals within the party. And the reason he has that influence, the politics that go on inside the Capitol are worse than the politics they play with us. Okay, so I'm going to help you with your campaign. I'm going to make sure money flows to your campaign so you get elected. Then you got to repay me when it comes time to vote for House Speaker. You got to keep me in mind. I'm the one who helped you get elected, and I'm the one who can shut those funds off. This is how it happens. This is how Boehner stayed in office for so long until he finally got pushed out. Finally. Come to find out, he was behind the scenes. He was a mess. Kevin McCarthy is the epitome of a GOP rhino. And he's very good at it because he talks, he's very condescending, by the way, when he talks. I don't know if most people don't understand what goes on in someone's speech, how you can hear it in their voice and the way they speak and the timbre and that kind of thing and the way they speak. He is extremely condescending. He talks to the American people and those who interview him as if they're children. I cannot stand that. I hear him talk. If I can listen to him for a minute, one straight minute, I'm just about trying to gag back into my throat. I feel my sweet roll, my cinnamon roll is starting to come up, just even thinking about it. But this is the GOP. And then what they do is they compromise. And this is the game that they play. The left goes over there as far as they can. They say, let's just compromise. Let's meet in the middle on this. Okay. Well, so we'll give up a few rights. We'll gray area of rights here. We'll kind of go ahead and give some of that up, and we'll move to the center with you. So they move to the center. The other side gets what they want, or part of it, and then they run off further to the left, and they ask once again to meet in the center. Let's just meet in the center. Let's get something that's bipartisan. All we need is one Republican on this bill. Make it look bipartisan, because you know the American people, they care about it being a bipartisan. That's all we care about. We want it to be bipartisan. We don't care what the bill is. We just want it to be bipartisan. As long as both parties agree, then we're okay with that. As long as we get one person, like Mitt Romney or Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, one of those people, because they're such strong Republicans. It's embarrassing to think that Mitt Romney was our candidate in 2012. Speaking of 2012 and the election, some of the stuff that True the Vote has found is going right back to that election. And I always had issues with it. Nothing ever added up. Just looking at it. Now, I know Rush Limbaugh was actually confronted with this question as to whether or not he thought there was shenanigans, as they call them. There was illegal stuff going on during the Obama election of 2012. And he danced around it very, very carefully. You could tell he had a suspicion. But at the same time, it was unfounded. He didn't have any proof. He didn't have anything that he could go on. But he basically had to concede that, yes, this guy probably won. But it was discomforting, and there was something fishy about it. You could just tell he didn't like it. So, not that he didn't like that Obama was elected again, because he didn't. He didn't like that. But there was something about the election he didn't like. But he never vocalized that. Rush was very intelligent in that respect. He was very careful about making accusations of things, unless he just knew that he knew. And most of the time he did know, because he understood the psychology of the left. And the leftists. Now, what we have here now is this situation where we have a GOP that is caving in. There are some long-time, long-term congressmen and senators that are caving in on this idea that that we need to have gun control. And this whole background check thing, along with the red flag laws, really, really concern me. That's what really concerns me the most. Who's in control of the red flag laws? Who's telling us who's... Because look what we've seen here over the last year. If you have a political opinion, you are canceled from society. Well, you're wrong, and you're dangerous. You're a terrorist. You're a white supremacist. You shouldn't have a gun. That's a red flag. We're going to take these guns away from you. Folks, over 70 million people fall into this definition of white supremacists. See, if Trump comes back and gets reelected, the left will go nuts because they think that the democracy has suffered. Now, one of the things that this article, I want to bring this back full circle here to this article that was done with this Dan Pfeiffer guy, who was a former Obama advisor. He's talking about how we need to regulate the right-wing alternative media. This was on Morning Joe. He was being interviewed. Of course, Mika, Joe's wife, I guess. I don't know what she is. She was chuckling and basically saying, oh, yes, people shouldn't be getting their news from Facebook. Heaven forbid. This is undermining democracy. Now, you see, when they say democracy is of the people. Facebook is supposed to be of the people. The closer it is to the people who are actually reporting the news on there and talking about things that are happening in their community, that's not where they should be getting their news. That's just hilarious that people get their news from Facebook. They should be getting it from me, telling them what to think. She literally has said that. That's our job to tell people what to think. They want to control the narrative completely. And they see anything else as being a threat. He said it's a threat to democracy in this article. It's a threat to democracy. Now, you have to understand when they say democracy, now this comes back to the whole thing of saying it's a Democratic Party or a Democratic congressman. They love the word Democratic. They don't like the word Democrat because there's something about it that has a different ring, and you're going to hear them continue to refer to themselves and to their party as the Democratic Party because that's democracy. It's more democratic. The Republicans, well, that rhymes with white supremacy. Terrorism. Insurrectionists. It's all one word. Wrap it all up into one thing when you say you're a Republican. That's what that all means. They still think that they have a chance here, I guess, at the 2022 election. Now, what concerns me, again, here is that the Republicans are probably going to win. And you're seeing these Republicans caving already on gun control. And they don't have to. Here's the thing about the rhinos. And this is what I want to land on this one thing, because this is where the show really needs to go. To the GOP, this is my open letter, if you will. My open commentary, my open punditry, my opining, whatever, all those words, I don't know what they mean. You need to stand your ground. Period. Do not fall prey to this ridiculous rhetoric and all the emotional heartstring junk that is going on in Washington right now. Number one, the whole January 6th committee is a farce and a lie, and it's illegal. This idea that they're going to go after all of their political opponents and get all of their text messages, everything that was going, this is nothing but open air, in your face, spying. We need to investigate all this. We've opened the door now to investigate everybody involved in the Trump administration. We want to get all your emails, all your text messages, everything about you. We're going to get all that information. We couldn't get all of Hillary's information. And she actually committed a crime. She committed several crimes, and James Comey, in plain daylight, spelled them out for us. But she had no intent. She committed these crimes, but she had no intent. Oh, how convenient. How convenient for her. Yeah, there's a lot of things about the January 6th thing that are just absolutely, should be recognizable to everybody on the planet. But then you have MSNBC sitting there saying that they had somebody decode Mark Meadows' text messages. He decoded them. What he found was frightening. Decoding his text message. I suppose you could look at my text messages and you could say, well, look, he said this. He said that car turned right in front of me. Well, that car was the political party, and right means that right. Who knows? How do you decode someone's text messages? Well, he's speaking in code. Oh, well, then these guys must be a lot smarter than you thought. They're talking in code right in front of your face. That's pretty amazing, actually. They're able to do that on the fly. But the GOP just continues to cave on this stuff. And yet they keep getting reelected. Because the only alternative is some lunatic on the left. And we've seen where that leads us to and is taking us right now, right off a cliff. They are implementing they're not even getting 10% of what they want right now, folks. Just think of it this way. The radical leftists are the ones that are really radical, like the AOCs and the squad. They're actually not very happy with where this administration is going. They're not going far enough. Now keep in mind, they want to see gas prices go higher because that way people will be forced to buy electric vehicles. Well, right now, people can't afford to buy electric vehicles because inflation is so high they can't hardly afford anything right now. Oh, well, I guess I'll just go out and spend $80,000 on an electric car. Yeah, that'll solve the problem. You see, that's not the option here. We have to have an economy. We have to have a baseline economy that can drive us into alternative fuels and alternative energy. And really, the main thing we need to have, and the more I look into this and the more I understand it, and the more lies that I've heard come out of some of the companies that are involved in poo-pooing the idea, is nuclear. Nuclear energy is really the answer here. France has done an awesome job with nuclear power. It's amazing. Unfortunately, they've also done a lot of amazing things with the Iranian government. By the way, we just found out, even though they're still in the nuclear deal, we've still gone back to the Iranian deal. Now that Trump got us out of, Biden went right back to it. But, oh, guess what? Oh, we just discovered that, oh, what's the term for it? Enriching uranium much higher than what they were supposed to be doing. Like they were supposed to have like 10% or whatever, a certain percentage, and they went way over that. Like it's like 10 times more enriched uranium than what they where they have the little things that spin, the little things, and they do little stuff like the heavy water stuff. I don't know what all they do, but it's. I'm not a nuclear physicist. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer either. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a life coach. I'm not a CPA or epidemiologist. I'm just a guy with a microphone and has a bunch of. I just watch a bunch of videos, and I talk about them. So the GOP then starts to cave on everything, because the current narrative, the current tragedy that's in the air, makes it seem like we have to do something to protect people. We have to do something to protect the children. It's all about the children. Now, you heard Nancy Pelosi recently say she's running again because of the children. Now, she ran again. You know, she was going to retire. She said she was going to retire after Hillary got into office. Well, I was going to just hold out until Hillary got into office, and then I was going to retire. Once I saw a female president. See, really, honestly, I think that Nancy Pelosi is kind of jealous that she's never been asked to be the president, or she's never been promoted to that position. Because she's a blithering idiot, she's a mess. The lady's a mess. And we have now up and coming is Kamala Harris, who's like a younger version of Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, again, this gets back to the way someone speaks, and I can't even begin to touch with a 10-foot pole all the stuff that goes on with her when she's talking. When she speaks, and she's flapping her elbows every time she talks, she flaps her elbows. This is extreme insecurity on her part. Extreme insecurity. This is a person who's not just trying to convince you with this believe me mode that she goes into. She doesn't believe herself. She's trying to convince you and help have you believe what she's saying, even though she doesn't believe it herself. This is, I'm way out here further than I can stand to be, and I'm trying to hold on to something that's not there. There's this whole thing going on there with the flapping of the elbows. And it's unnerving. Folks, if she were ever in charge, I think I would start probably digging a hole to hide in for the next 4 years, or however many years she's going to be there. But the GOP seems to think that if we don't go along with this, we're going to lose in 2022. No, guys, you're not going to, don't worry about that. What you need to do, if you really want to win every election from here on out, stand your ground. Educate the people on what the principles of the founding fathers were, and make your party the party of the founders. You need to get out there and educate people what it means to have individual rights. That's what you need. That's your job. You need to get out there and defend your rights. Don't just sit on your hands and vote whatever. You need to be actively involved in educating the community of what these rights mean, what it means to have the rights that we have, and why you're voting no on certain bills that seem to give us stuff. A free Xbox for everybody, except for these individuals over here. You're not going to get one. This is why reparations are so abhorrently, disproportionately wrong. They're immoral. You're taking money from one group of people because of the color of their skin or their ethnicity, and giving it to another because of something that happened to their grandparents or their parents. That's not the way we do that. And we don't do that in this country. We're not, oh, well, your father committed murder, but he was never charged, so we're going to go after you. Oh, okay. That seems fair. So I never even knew the person he you know, committed murder too. I don't know anything about it. He left me when I was 3 years old, but okay. I guess that seems fair to me. Yeah. I'll go ahead and put me in prison for 10 years. This is the same kind of thing. You're taking away someone's livelihood. Well, but you built your livelihood on the backs of slaves. Oh. I did. Okay. That's interesting, because I remember times when I couldn't afford to eat for a while. Was that? I'd go days. Sometimes all I had was chocolate pudding for 2 days. Because it was left over in the kitchen that I worked in. I don't understand. You know, life is tough, folks. It's tough for everybody. It's you, sure, there's people who have advantages. There's people who are definitely have advantages in certain situations. There's a situation when I go to Atlanta to work there down there. I am certainly not in an advantage situation down there. And being mistreated because of the way I look, just because of the way someone else mistreated them, does not make it right. I understand it. It doesn't make it right. The very thing you're complaining about having happened to your people, taking it back out on someone else who had nothing to do with it. And no, my family history had nothing to do with slavery. There were a lot of people in this nation who fought and died to put an end to slavery. You don't hear them being touted as heroes. All you hear about is even their descendants now are somehow vilified by just because of the color of their skin. It's lunacy, folks. This gets back to the individual issue again. Individuals, regardless of the color of your skin, need to be treated as individuals and be given the same rights as everybody else. And that is the right to be responsible for yourself, for your actions. So, this is my Wednesday morning rant. That's all I got. And I have no cup. My throat is getting dry. Drier than normal. So the silky pipes that you're used to hearing here on the news, according to me, are starting to sound kind of raspy. Starting to sound more like Anthony Fauci. There may be a show this evening. I have quite a bit to do. I still got to go to the boat and get some things ready for tomorrow. And I need to decide how I'm going to do all that. And then I have some mowing to do and some straightening up around the house here. But I may have time for about a 30-minute long live broadcast this evening, possibly. Or at least another show. I might just do the show and have a live broadcast some other time. But right now, this is it's looking like maybe something this evening. I don't know. We'll see. It is Wednesday, after all, and there's other things that I have to do. Take the garbage over to the dump, all that kind of stuff. We'll see how it goes. I'm not promising anything. I never do. And sometimes it's a good thing because I rarely come through. So I'll just go with that. We're just going to stop with that. On the note that I'm not dependable. That's how we're just going to leave it at that. Lack of dependability. That's what I'm known for. Folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with me. And thanks for listening to my rant. And being my psychological sounding board, keeping me sane, knowing that somebody out there is listening to my crazy talk. That's very helpful psychologically. It's mentally good for me, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it just adds to the fuel to the fire. Probably something. I don't know. Put in your little euphemism there, whatever you want to do. Folks, thanks for listening. Have a happy Wednesday. We'll be back at least tomorrow morning. We'll be back. Maybe not tomorrow morning. I might be out on the open lake, Lake Michigan, tomorrow. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Take care.